Now, live from the Blind Ninja Studios in Western Wisconsin, a show with no purpose, hosted by experts at drinking, and they're almost definitely wearing pants. It's time for the Department of Offense.
Welcome to episode 449 of Department of Offense. I'm your host, Casey. Joining me as always is Carlos.
As always.
Is it as always?
As always.
As always. Before we get too deep here, we don't do that anymore. So I'm just going to, actually, I am going to get real deep. Yeah. What is the deepest hole you've ever dug? And do you want to pull that mic up so you're actually talking to it?
Oh, it's angled down. It's a little, looks like it got a little loose there. Let me think. So I think I've dug some deep ones for, like, when I was doing a bunch of gardening, like, when I was a kid. But, like, I wasn't trying to dig as deep as possible. It was just, like, part of the thing of, hey, you need to dig the stuff for reasons. And I dug those things for reasons. But I don't think I ever try to dig deep as possible.
So after reading the book Holes, like we all did as children.
Yeah.
Did you ever think, I bet I could dig a 5-foot hole?
Yeah, but I also saw that it wasn't fun. That was also in the book, how not fun it was.
Well, yeah, that was also in the book. But, yeah, no, I never, like, I don't know. Deepest hole I've ever dug by hand is probably...
I'd recommend using a shovel. That's just me.
Probably about 3 feet deep at the beach by hand. Like,
mm-hmm.
Tip of, like, no. So I would, like, put my shoulder all the way in and, like, be down. So what that, how many feet is that? About 3?
Yeah, about 3.
Okay, yeah. So about 3 feet deep, and then probably about a foot around. That's probably the deepest hole I've dug by hand,
mm-hmm.
or using a shovel. I did not use a shovel for that one. I used a stick and a shell.
All right.
But only one shell, because I didn't have to poop.
But why? Why did you dig a hole on the beach that deep?
I was bored.
At the beach?
I don't like the beach. Like, I take that back. Okay. I like sitting in the water with my friends, drinking beers, flinging limes at each other. I like scuba diving. I like chit-chatting in the beach. I don't like sitting on the beach. Just like laying there. Turns out I'm too neurotic for that.
All right.
And just can't do that. So yeah, I don't like that part of the beach.
No, I've done that laying part, and then like I've done so many sandcastles. But like normally that's you're not trying to dig deep. You want shallow bits.
Well, I dug two holes and then made a shovel.
Yeah,
I made a tunnel, not a shovel. Made a tunnel between the two. But anyway, that's our deep conversation. So what have you been up to this past week?
Oh, not too much. Or has it been 2 weeks? No, it's been 1 week.
It's been a week. It's been 1 week. Because I released last week's episode this week. But I actually released it on the 5th, if you look at the things. Lando, shut the fuck up. We're having a conversation and you're not part of it.
Yeah. Let me think. Yeah, not too much. Yeah. Yeah, not too much this last week. Just had a fun day at Pitchfork a couple days ago. That was fun. Hadn't had their pizza for a while, but it's always the that popper
you,
pizza.
You have a new favorite pizza. I'm surprised it took you this long to discover that pizza.
Well, it had been a while before that time when I went. Like, I don't think they had it on the menu that long. It was that
it's long. Been on the menu for over a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I just missed it. I probably just generally just get the special.
Yeah, you usually get the special or you get the meatza pizza.
Mm-hmm.
When they have the big Tony pepperoni, you'll have to come with me and get that one. Have you had that one?
I don't think so.
No. Okay, that's a pretty good one.
Because I think when it's been on before, I go like, oh, I could really go for a haystack sandwich or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, you're a pepperoni pizza guy.
Yeah.
And that's the big Tony pepperoni. You're and right. You have to order it with that accent, yeah. Otherwise they won't give it to you.
Yeah, I had a plan to watch the Dune movie, the first part, this weekend. That has not happened. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. It turns out, like, drinking got in the way of it for most of these.
Yeah, we had some deck beer nights.
Yeah, I didn't want to be... I want to be sober when I watch it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because it's not the the one from the 70s.
No. Well, and you have to watch them both. This week is when Dune 2 hits HBO.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, sorry, it's Max now. Hits Max. So... Like, we can watch that one for free. So we're at least caught up when we have the episode where Fredrickson and Gilbert come on to ostensibly talk about their brewery, but really just talk about Dune the entire
yeah.
time. At least I'm pretty sure that's Mike's plan.
That's
at least you have me convinced that that's Mike's plan.
It's likely the plan. It's the real reason.
It's the real reason they want to come on and do a podcast, is to talk about Dune.
Yeah, and then, let's see, been playing some more RimWorld, started a new colony. Cause
it still sounds like a sex game.
That's on you. That's on you that you're hearing sex game when I say RimWorld, because it's like the Outer Rim is where the world is. And
Outer Rim, Inner Rim.
And I generated, I wanted to, do more mad science stuff, for the theme of the colony. So I had an Illithid, a mind flayer as the leader of the colony. So he can eat brains. And then everybody else is academic named after the Miskatonic University from H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, nice.
And however, since I created the culture myself and I made them academics, they hate doing dumb labor. So they're unhappy most of the time. There's not enough art.
Yeah.
And then I had some kid fell from the space and survived, but he had paralyzation for 30 days. I was like, I'm gonna save him. I'm gonna do something nice with this colony. And then there's a new monster that called a revenant that shows up where basically it's invisible most of the time, and then it finds a colonist that it likes. It puts them in a psychic trance. They're unconscious, and now you're down the colonist until you find it and kill that revenant.
Yeah.
And I was down to one colonist that was running out there with EMP grenades and a shotgun trying to find it, starving to death slowly, and managed to save the colony. But and that kid is still fucking unable to move.
Man, you had some just depressing stories come out of this game.
Well, the kid's going to be fine.
Really? Is it going to be more fun than that guy that you murdered last week?
And there was a bunch of kids that came. There was a kid that came that wanted medicine because his pet animal got sick on the road, and he wanted fucking 12 medicine. And I was like, I got medicine to spare. Shortly after that, I did not have medicine to spare for the next group of kids that wanted medicine. They got nothing because everybody was had been burned a bit. So
have you finished Fallout yet?
I have not. That's
damn it.
That is on my list of things to. I was listening to a podcast about it earlier today, and
it's so good.
I know. But you just gotta be in the mood to watch it. Like every time I think, hey, should I want to watch Fallout? I'm not in the mood for watching a series. Yeah, but that's what I've been up to.
Nice. Let's see. Man, I'm trying to remember. So last week. We talked about... What did I do last week? Oh, last week I did the bike ride. Mm-hmm. This week I didn't do anything nearly as exciting. What did I do last weekend? What did we do last weekend? Oh, I went scuba diving. Went and did some scuba diving. Went to Lake Wazee. It was just a beautiful 42 degrees down at 80 feet. So that was pretty cool.
That's fun. Like, when you're revisiting Wazee, do you do different things or the same sort of thing?
Yeah. So this one, it really depends on the dive that we've decided to do. This week we decided to revisit, there's a bunch of different dive sites there. And one is The Wall. And it's basically a wall that drops, like, you get about 10, 15 feet offshore, and it drops about 60 feet down right away. And then there's a little bit of a ledge, and then it drops down into the abyss. So we dropped down to about 80 feet, and we're just kind of chilling there, looking at stuff. There's, like, trees and roads and, like, little statues and things down there. There's apparently a shark down at 100 feet that we haven't ventured that deep yet, just because we're not entirely sure where the shark is. But at some point, like, I want to go find that shark, because I think that'd be fun.
Not a real shark.
No. It's a little shark statue. It's too cold for real sharks. Unless they're street sharks.
Because there's a street down there, apparently.
Yeah. And so, like, that dive went super great.
Wait, how is there a street down there?
Oh, it's an old mine.
So it was just a... It was a mine street, got it.
Yeah. So, like, it's a mine road, right?
Does it have, like, a signpost?
That one does not, no. But, like, they, like, spiral down, and so it's kind of cool. And there's one that goes through an old drowned forest that's over on the other side that's called Sherwood Forest. So when the dive shop goes out, they always set up at Sherwood because they can do a deep dive on Sherwood Forest, and they can do a wreck dive over on the boat for their advanced students. And we always, now we do, like,
do you wrap
opposite.
Up as a bunch of merry men?
Yep, absolutely we do. But yeah, so, did that the second dive of the day. I had a leak. I did not seal the zipper quite properly in my dry suit, and my dad double checked it, and then he fucked it up too. But that's okay because his dry glove leaked, and so he got, like, soaked up to his elbow, so it served him right. So we were both chilly, so we only went down to about 45 feet on that one, and we were going through, like, buoyancy rings. A bunch of buoyancy rings set at about 30 feet in this area called Bluegill Alley, where they have, like, this whole navigation course set up and stuff. It's really fun, really cool spot to, like, do some training. And it was really funny because my dad would, like, he'd have, like, perfect trim, and he'd start to go through the buoyancy ring, but be a little too hard or high, and, like, his tank would ding it. And so then he'd, like, freak out and just basically, like, grab it and, like, pull himself through. but yeah, so I did that, went to Lucette. So I had a double pizza header, did Pitchfork and then Lucette back to back. And, you know, like, I love them both. They're both absolutely incredible.
Very different types of pizza?
Very different types of pizza.
Like, Lucette has, like, the classic
wood fire
pizza, yeah.
Yeah, and I would say Pitchfork is a, I want to say it's a culinary take on a bar pizza.
Yeah. It's like a thinner crust. Like, it's a thin crust, but it's also, like, a thicker thin crust.
Well, it's that the Heggie's crust almost, yeah. Right? Like, a little thicker than thin, mm-hmm. But it's that perfect, like, bar pizza where you still get, like, a little bit of crunch. You get the structure.
With spent grain used to
make
the crust.
Yeah, spent grain crust and just delicious toppings. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's, yeah, like, your bougie bar pizza.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Better than the bar pizza I had tonight.
Well,
that's for sure.
Yeah. Yours had too much olives on it, apparently,
yeah.
Which I didn't realize was a thing.
It's definitely.
So I think
a
you're wrong. But I didn't have any of it. So. Beyond that, we did a deck chill night after that, and then Sunday.
Some Hammerschlagen for a bit until we were too drunk to do Hammerschlagen.
Yep. Well, yeah, and it rained. No, it didn't rain. We were just got tired. Yeah. I think. Yeah, you ordered food. And then. Sunday was just chill, and we got too tired and didn't want to do anything, so we're recording on Monday.
Yeah.
But we have a beer in front of us.
That we do.
I've, like, been sneaking a little bit from this. This is from Component Brewing Company, which I need to bring up real quick.
And the name of the beer is the Urban Carl New Zealand Style Pilsner. I don't know what
I mean. I feel like you need to get your, like, let's see. From deep in the heart of New Zealand,
came a man with piercing eyes, tremendous hair, and a jawline that refused to quit. This man carved out a great career for himself as a B-list actor and became New Zealand's favorite son. Dry-hopped with Nelson Savon, CGX, and Rewalker for a burst of fruit flavors and bitter notes, and brewed with flaked rice for a dry finish. We honor his work with this beer.
So,
Brewed in Milwaukee.
Oh, so it's brewed in Milwaukee, so it didn't travel from New Zealand. Okay.
Yeah, no, sorry. So, I got to do this. From deep in the heart of New Zealand came a man with piercing eyes, tremendous hair, and a jawline that just refused to quit, don't you know? This man carved out a great career for himself as a B-list actor and became New Zealand's favorite son. Dry-hopped with Nelson Sauvin, CGX, and Rewaka for a burst of fruit flavors and bitter notes, and brewed with flaked rice for a dry finish. We honor his work with this beer.
So, I don't know if Carl Urban, which is clearly what the
name
is.
This is Urban Carl. Did you not?
Well, it might be related. I don't know if Carl Urban likes to like do burnouts on his car, but I'm just gonna say that this beer tastes and smells exactly like burning rubber.
What?
That's what I'm getting.
I'm not getting that at all.
I am getting that 100%.
I'm definitely getting out of your glass.
Oh, yeah, no, maybe. I'm going to go dump mine out and get another one. That's why I grabbed some extra show beers, because I figured yours was also...
No, mine is fucking delicious. Mine is incredible. You go get a new glass. Yeah, no, this beer, like, is incredible. Like light fruity nose. You get those almost like fruity pebble, like a lot of like tropical fruit, berry on the nose. It pours like a slightly hazy for a pilsner, but for this is basically like the New England style of pilsners. We accept a little bit of haze here. And yeah, it's crisp, it's clean, it's fruity, it's goddamn delicious.
So I've got a clean glass here.
All right, smell your glass. Make sure it doesn't smell nonsense.
Did.
Okay.
I rinsed it out a couple times. Because it was strong.
Only pour like half of it, just in case you like ruin your... Yeah, no, but yeah, yours definitely smell like burning rubber. And mine smells like deliciousness. Better?
I think so. I'm still getting a little bit. I might have to just like rinse. I'm just gonna grab a fresh glass.
I would just grab a different glass. Just grab a new glass. There's a Pilsner glass sitting right there that's clean. Or yeah, grab a Pitchfork glass. There you go.
Just want to make I'm giving this the best shot possible.
Because yeah, I went and freshly cleaned this glass right before.
Like I still get like a little bit of smell of a burnt rubber on this is what I'm picking up still. It's not as bad as the other can. Like absolutely not as bad as the other can.
I'm getting like if I like think burnt rubber, burnt rubber, burnt rubber. But I don't get it at all in this one. And maybe it's the shape of the glass.
Maybe.
Like, do you smell it at all in this one?
No, I'm getting a different smell.
I'm getting that Nelson Savon smell. Well, now I'm smelling burnt rubber because you made me think burnt rubber, you son of a bitch.
At least this one, this other one doesn't taste like burnt rubber. So
yes.
It's got that going for it.
But yeah, anyway, so I'm really liking this beer. Or at least I was until you burnt rubbered me.
Man, it's gonna be hard to. So I'm drinking it now. It's kind of like a, it has like a, it leaves your mouth dry. It kind of has a dry aftertaste going for it.
It's that pilsneriness.
But man, that that first one kind of, I don't think
kind of ruined your day.
I don't think I can give this a score. Like I that's like
no, I don't care if you can or not. You're going to.
I don't think I can give this a good score because that first one was so bad. Like, I don't know. It might have just thrown off my ability to taste this beer just because of that burnt rubberness.
No, so, that's fair, but you still have to give it a score.
So I'm going to give it a 3. This new one, I'm gonna only rate this new one. I'm going to try to avoid. So I'm going to give that. I'm going to give it a 6. That's what I'm going to give it.
All right. I'm going to give it a 7. Like, this is really good. This is not the best example I've had of the style. I don't know if you guys have known this, but I've been to New Zealand, and I've had some really good New Zealand pilsners from New Zealand, and this just isn't quite there. Mm-hmm. Also, I would say one of my favorite New Zealand pilsners that I've ever had is actually from Minnesota, from Forager. They had a New Zealand pils that was goddamn incredible. I really liked it. And it was fantastic. Can we also talk about how expensive fucking pilsners have gotten?
Which is, like, I would always picture, like, pilsners, in my mind, should be cheaper than regular beers.
What do you think this 4-pack cost me?
Oh, it's called the Urban Car. I'm going to say $23.
No, 18.
18. Oh, so, you know, that's what I would expect, actually, for a 4-pack of specialty beer.
It's a fucking pilsner!
Yeah, but that's what
this cost them 30 cents in grain!
Yeah, no. That's what they charge for all those four packs. So they're gonna charge it even if it didn't cost them that much.
Yeah. Well, I like God damn it. Yeah. Stupid. Inflation's dumb.
It is,
and I'm mad about it. It's affecting my beer.
Yeah, you're right to be wrong. To be mad about it.
You're right. I'm right to be wrong.
No, not wrong. Not wrong on this one.
So, God damn it, you got me thinking rubber now.
Yeah, no, this one was not good.
I just want to do this one.
Oh, you just want to... a little burnout there.
We'll just burn out a couple of times.
So you want to get into the discussion?
Yeah, we're going to start. I think we're going to start with the easy one here, right? We're going to start with the one that's going to make me hungry. We're going to start with the one that's really going to make everybody's day and life better. We're going to talk Lunchables. Not just Lunchables, though. We're going to talk goddamn adult Lunchables, because why should kids have all the fun?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to talk straight up just like real ass Lunchables. And we're not talking snack Lunchables. All right? When we're doing this, it has to be the full Lunchable. It has to be the main, the dessert, and the beverage. It can't be the snack Lunchable, which is just crackers and cheese.
Well, it has. It's good. No, it isn't like it normally like a main, like a side, a dessert.
No.
Oh, there's no app. It's just the.
There's no appies in the regular lunch. I mean, we can add appies. We're adults, mm-hmm. But like we need a main, a dessert, and a drink, a little bevy. And, like, the bevy in the Lunchable is always the same. It's just a Capri Sun.
Yeah.
So it's probably, like, something bullshit like a LaCroix or something like that in an adult Lunchable.
So
but.
Do we want to allow, like, does it have to be, like, good at room temperature? Or cool? I guess it would be in the fridge. So, like, fridge temperature.
I think or a rule is no heating up. Because as soon as you heat it up, it's just a TV dinner.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be, like, you pull it out of a thing, or out of your backpack, your locker, your what have you, and you eat it.
Yeah.
So no utensils, unless they can be included in the thing.
So the temperature is going to be slightly below room temperature, is probably what it's going to be at.
The temperature is shelf-stable,
is
what we're going
for. Yeah.
Like mild, like low cases of E. coli.
But you normally refrigerate them, right?
Well, yeah.
And then you just
but
take it
also,
out.
But then you also just leave them in a backpack for 18 hours and then you eat them and it's probably okay. Mm-hmm. Even though that turkey's a little slimy, you're going to eat it anyway.
Well, good thing I don't have any turkey in my plans so far.
Right. So the reason I'm excluding the snack Lunchables is because they already make those at the Quick Trip. They have them right next to the real Lunchables, is the ones with the little crostinis and the good cheese and the good salami. But they're like $3 more, and sometimes they're like a dollar more. And sometimes you just want the Ritz crackers and the ham and the Swiss.
Yeah. So I'm going to kick us off. I think, so what I'm picturing is even if some food that like maybe it's better like if you have it fresh and hot, but like if it's room temperature, you're really like, yeah, you're going to go at that. So I'm picturing meatloaf. A fucking meatloaf.
Like the singer?
No, not him. He we can't get him. That'd be too expensive to sell on stores.
Isn't he dead?
I think he did die.
Yeah, 2022.
Yeah. Anyways, he would do anything
in Nashville.
He would do anything for love, but he wouldn't become a Lunchable.
You know, he's a bit of a bat out of hell, so.
So I'm thinking meatloaf, and I want like a side with that. Like I want something. I want this to be hearty because you're gonna be you're working up an appetite. You're working, so I'm mashed potatoes. You can have that at room temperature, I think that like as long as you seal it well, like with a meatloaf and
that sounds terrible.
I don't know. I think I could fucking chow down on some meatloaf and mashed potatoes if it was just ready to go. Like don't get me wrong. It'd be better hot. So a Lunchable. Like, you don't want a fucking Lunchable pizza.
No. Well, I mean, no, like, we're going to get there. But I think mashed potatoes would be better in, like, a go-gurt form.
So
like a tube that you're just slurping taters with little gravy pockets.
Yeah, no, you could keep it in a tube. I was thinking, like, more like it's, like, in its own separate, like, bowl with, like, so you've... take the seal off and you have like a cup of mashed potatoes with it.
Well, no, so like I feel like I don't know, you're getting too far away from finger foods there. Like even the pizza is a finger food.
Okay.
And it has a little squeezy thing that you put the sauce on.
I was picturing it comes with a little tiny plastic spoon to scoop.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
they have utensils. Like the pizza one has like a butter knife of sorts. To, like,
no, it has
sauce.
A stick.
Yeah, it has a stick.
Yeah, but like let's be honest. Would you rather have mashed potatoes in a little bowl with a little cellophane thing that you eat with a stick, or do you just want a slurpable tube of mashed potatoes?
Oh, I'd take a slurpable tube.
That's if let's be honest, if you're already eating room temp potatoes, you might as well slurp.
It could be
tube.
Stored in the tube.
And the thing with this tube is it could be like gravy layered, and then you take the tube and like the first thing to do is like, or no, there's a little like gravy packet in there, right? And you snap the gravy packet like a packet of yeast, and then you squish the tube up to get your potatoes all gravy-y. Or you could be like a freak and just eat down to the gravy packet and then just slurp that gravy into your mouth.
I think the way you'd have to do it is you'd have to play it safe where there is no like it's just pre-mixed in with like gravy, like a slight amount of gravy.
Like then you're losing a lot of the fun.
Yeah, but you're also like making sure that's evenly spread out throughout the mashed potatoes.
Well, that's why you add the instructions to do the mixing.
Ain't nobody's gonna get that right. You're gonna have some.
I mean, ain't nobody's. These are Lunchables for adults, not morons.
And sometimes you're just like, yeah, who is less likely to read instructions, a kid or an adult? What is it on a Lunchable?
A kid is less likely. An adult who has their Lunchable at work with them, and so they're fucking bored and they can't use their phone, so they're just gonna read their goddamn Lunchable.
No, they're a fucking adult, and they'll be like, I don't have to read this. Don't try to explain to me how Lunchables work, Lunchable. I know how Lunchables work.
Apparently, you don't if you're not gonna snap your break. That's also that's a mistake you're gonna make once. You're gonna make that one time,
and then you never get it again.
No, then you do because you're like, ah, shit, there was gravy in here. It's not like you eat the entire Lunchable and don't realize there's gravy in there. You just slurp out an entire fucking gravy packet and you're like, ah, shit, I should have mixed this up.
No, you must, I don't think the adult would admit it as a mistake. I think he would double down and be, this is not the flavor of the Lunchable for me.
I have seen you not do this.
What, not take the blame?
No, I've seen you not double down. You just, like, quietly move on.
I don't know. Like, not always.
Remind me to water that plant before we leave tonight.
But, like, I guess, like, for...
I just think mashed potatoes are a slurpable, and they're not really, like... I don't see, like... So, also, like, once you start adding bowls to Lunchables, like, you're basically just at ramen.
Well, I mean, that's what they do with, like... Isn't that what they do with the applesauce? Like, they have, like, in a little bowl that's kind of... Because it's just, like, a...
Applesauce is in a little cup, yeah. And that's different, because that's a dessert.
It's the same.
It's not the same thing.
You can store
it. You want to eat that much fucking mashed potatoes? That's the tiniest little fucking thing of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you have a little bit bigger one. Because it's going to be a larger one. And then, but for dessert, though, I'm not sure what would, like...
So, your main is mashed potatoes.
No, the main is the meatloaf, and you also have some mashed potatoes. That's the side.
Oh, I got way too... I forgot about the meatloaf. Yeah. No, the mashed potatoes should definitely be in a tube, because now you could just... You can spread it on the mashed potatoes like a condom, or the meatloaf like a condiment.
It can definitely be in a tube.
It's in a tube.
But it just... not the gravy part.
No, the gravy's also in the tube!
No, yeah. Spread evenly already with the mashed potatoes.
Or maybe it's two separate tubes. You have a tube of gravy and you have a tube of mashed potatoes, and then you can put them on your meatloaf however you want.
You're making it too complicated. A Lunchable should be simple.
No, a Lunchable is all about assembly.
No.
Yes, it is. Look at every fucking Lunchable. The entire thing is assembly. It started with crackers, cheese, and meat. And you assemble your own little bites. Then it was pizzas. Do the pizzas come pre-assembled? No. Okay. It's all about assembly. Lunchables are about assembly. It's about kids taking charge of their own dinner.
I can have mashed potatoes if it's like room temperature. That's not a problem for me.
I didn't realize I was this passionate about Lunchables.
However... If you have a separate tube of gravy, I don't think I want gravy that's room temperature.
That's why you take the gravy out, right? This is pro Lunchable moves, right? You put the gravy out, and about 2 hours before lunch, you slip that gravy right in your pocket.
No.
Now you're getting yourself some warm crotch gravy.
No, you're losing people now. Like, you may have had people on your side before, but
it's all about the assembly. It's all about assembly. Like, everything comes in the one package, right? And now, if you want to, like, get into, like, S tier, right, then you have to, like, start working your thing. So, you have your gravy and your mashed potatoes in a pocket throughout the, like, you take them out, you let them start warming up, and then you go and you eat your cold slab of meatloaf, which, have you ever eaten cold meatloaf?
It's not going to be cold. It'll be room temperature.
Well, yeah, no, I... Okay, have you ever eaten not hot meatloaf?
Yes, I have.
It's not great. It's crumbly and bland.
Oh, it's not. You have to season your meatloaf.
Well, yes, I understand, but
no,
like,
no, it should not be bland. I just gotta be clear. This Lunchable meatloaf is not bland.
Is it a chorizo meatloaf? Because no, now I want that.
I've never had a chorizo meatloaf.
I haven't either, but I want one.
I do. I want one now. I don't know about dessert, though. I don't know what is a dessert that goes with meatloaf and potatoes. Like, I'm not really a dessert person.
Apple pie.
I mean, yeah, that's the obvious
choice. Or, like, just like an apple turnover. And it's just called the All-American Lunchable.
Yeah, maybe just an apple turnover.
It's an apple turnover. You get meatloaf, you get mashed potatoes, you get gravy, you get an apple turnover, and you get just a big old glass of lukewarm milk.
No. So, for the drink for this, I'm thinking... So, it's not going to be beer, because this is like a Lunchable.
It's a Lunchable. You have to be able to have this at work.
It's a White Claw.
Ain't no laws when you got the claws. It comes in two. One comes with a LaCroix, one comes with a White Claw. There's the NA option. They're called Pussyables. And, yep.
Yeah, and then, so...
There's a lot of very problematic branding around these Lunchables.
So do you have, what's your idea for a Lunchable?
I mean, I had, like, so, all right, Here's the easiest idea for Lunchables, right? This is where we should have started. Instead of whatever bullshit you got on me with Go-Gurt mashed potatoes.
You started the Go-Gurt thing. I was fine with it being in a cup.
It could be in a cup. It makes more sense in a tube.
It's fine to eat mashed potatoes out of a bowl. I've done it.
No, it's an assembly thing and it's slurpable. Anything slurpable, it needs to come in a tube.
I don't want it to be slurpable. It needs to be thick. Like, mashed potatoes need to be thick.
With two seeds.
Now, you can squeeze it out. Yeah, but it shouldn't be slurpable. You should not be slurping mashed potatoes.
You should, out of a tube, you should absolutely be slurping mashed potatoes.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
But what is your food?
Okay, all right. So, we're going to get past this mashed potato problem. So, the easiest solution, right, is you take the classic Lunchable and you scale it up. Right. What is the obvious evolution of crackers, cheese, and meat? It's a fucking sandwich.
Okay.
Right? Not just one sandwich. It comes with four pieces of bread. There's a couple of different types, right? It all depends on the meat because
so I got to ask you the size of the bread. So, like, are we talking
like sandwich bread?
Like, so we're talking like a full, because I was thinking like it'd be a little bit smaller because it's still a Lunchable. You don't, I don't know if you, like when I'm picturing like the meal.
Would you not eat a sandwich for lunch?
I mean, I would, but I if you're going to have four pieces of bread in there, that's, you're starting to get it. I think.
Okay,
like
maybe they're triangles of bread.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. You have two sets of triangles.
Yeah. So you have four triangles of bread and all of the meat and cheese is also cut into triangles.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so you have triangles of bread, meat and cheese. You have a little mustard packet, a little mayo packet. There's like, you know those pickle pouches?
Yeah.
There's a pickle pouch in there.
Wait, is it a cold cut, basically?
Yeah. So you can get turkey or ham, and they come with like Swiss or cheddar, respectively. Or turkey comes with cheddar. Ham comes with Swiss, mm-hmm. and then you can get in with white or wheat bread. And then you can assemble your sandwich. So you could do the kid thing, right? And it was like what we all did, at least at one time with our Lunchables, is we took all the things and we made just a giant stack.
Yeah.
Alternating stack. And you can do that. You can make a quad stack sandwich of all of your meats and cheeses, right? And just have
embrace
like
your inner Scooby-Doo and Shaggy.
Yep, and just like, all of the sandwich Lunchables come with one of those long toothpicks with a single olive too.
Oh yeah, of course. Of course it has. That's a necessity.
It's absolutely a necessity.
So everybody knows you're not just an adult, you're a fancy adult. Eating your adult Lunchable.
Just to get that perfect little like cartoon dessert. We're just growing a Lunchable up here, right? So right now they come with like a fun size Kit Kat or a fun size Snickers. Nah, bitch, you're an adult. You get a full size Snickers, a full size Kit Kat. You get two Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't know.
Oh wait, so sandwiches and then just a bunch of fucking candy?
Well, no, it's one of the candies. It's sandwiches and a candy.
That's disappointing.
Why? We're just growing up what's in the real Lunchable. Like, that's my idea.
Wow, I feel like that's a sad, like, is the sandwich, I'm all on board with the sandwich. The sandwich sounds great.
Okay, the dessert is what threw you.
Well, like, what else? It's just that sandwich and a fucking candy bar?
And then a beverage. What? It's a Lunchable. Yours is potatoes in the tube.
Yeah. That's a little bit more exciting than a candy bar.
Okay, well, also, the pizza Lunchable is way more exciting than the basic Lunchable.
But you're not talking about a pizza one. You're talking
I know. But, like, I'm trying to make the basic adult Lunchable. Like, what would it look like? Right, we have to start somewhere, right? There has to be a baseline. There has to be the shitty one that you're trying to trade away. Lando.
Like, I think, no, I don't think it has to be bad. Like, if you have a sandwich one, it doesn't have to be bad.
I didn't think it was bad. I was really happy with this lunch.
Made it disappointing by having it.
Why?
It's just a sandwich and a candy bar. That's why.
It's a sandwich and a candy bar and a beverage.
Why not fucking just go to the gas station, buy a sandwich, a candy bar, of any choice instead of whatever's in that box? Like, you get
because assembly. Why don't you just buy a sleeve of crackers, a block of cheese, and a tiny fun-sized candy bar? And then give that to your child every day for lunch. Do you understand why we never got Lunchables as kids?
Yeah, I do.
Because that's what they are. It's crackers, meat, cheese, and a goddamn candy bar, and a juice box.
I think your baseline, though, needs to be still be an improvement. And, like, I feel like
it was. I made it bigger.
It's not enough. You might as well just had more crackers, better cheese, and then you just fucking your snack lunch.
No, it's a sandwich and a fucking candy bar.
I've never been so disappointed in my life. I feel let down. Like, the promise of a sandwich Lunchable.
I'm sorry. Here. Let me fix this for you with your goddamn bourgeoisie taste. Okay. It's a sandwich, right? And then you open up your goddamn panini press, and then you press your sandwich into a panini. And then you take out your little flambe torch, and you have your, like...
I'm picking up a little sarcasm here. No, it's
you just flambe your souffle, motherfucker, well, and then you're good
so
to go.
One of the reasons, like, I'm against a candy bar is, like, as an adult, I don't think you want to be seen eating a candy bar as part of your lunch.
Why? That is a prejudice against you, or that, like, that's your prejudice. Like, I can eat a candy bar with lunch and it's just fine. If I'm like, hey, my lunch today is going to be a sandwich and a candy bar.
Let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with an adult buying a candy bar and eating it anytime.
I mean,
they don't need a reason. However, if you have a reason for it now and your reason is lunch, then that's sad.
No, it's not a reason. It's an excuse.
It's now a reason.
No, it gives you an excuse to have a candy bar because, well, it came with my lunch and it's going to go to waste if I don't eat
it. You're an adult. You don't need an excuse.
Yes, you do.
You can make your own choices.
No, children don't need an excuse. Adults need excuses to buy candy bars. That's why you only buy candy when it's on sale. Because then, well, I paid less for these calories, so they're free.
That's fair, yeah. But that has nothing to do, though, with it being a fucking candy bar in your Lunchable.
Oh, my God. What is the problem with a candy bar in your Lunchable?
Okay, what's the drink? What's the drink with your that's supposed to go with a sandwich and a fucking candy bar?
A Capri Sun. Why change what's not broken?
No. Capri Suns are too sweet.
You're right. Well, okay, so it's a Capri Sun, but it's also you also have
a little
shooter in there too.
And you know what's
a little daddy's helper, a little shot of whiskey.
I don't know. I
to help your candy bar go down.
I think it'd be hard to drink that room temperature if it's like...
You're right. It's a can of Coke.
And you could do that, yeah,
yep.
I guess.
Yep. You have your sandwich, your candy bar, your can of Coke, your little shooter of whiskey, and that's the all-American right there. There's nothing more American than that meal.
No, you'd have to include corn syrup in everything, but that's not enough in that sandwich.
Pretty sure if you get the white bread,
it's
just
corn
syrup.
Oh, no, it's in the bread, but only the bread.
And the cheese and the meat.
You have to have it in everything.
It's very processed bologna.
And I think I would definitely take my Lunchable over yours.
Oh,
so
my
far.
God, you have to have a baseline Lunchable.
You ruined it.
I did with the candy bar. The candy bar is what ruined it.
You started going off the rails there.
That was literally... I'm really excited to hear the listener opinions on this one.
I'm glad that we'll be able to hear people disagree that a candy bar should not be the Lunchable.
A candy bar should absolutely be in a Lunchable.
We got another topic to talk about that's not as angry-making. It's not as frustrating as dealing with.
Yeah, I hope
maybe involves
so.
Less candy bars. Well, unless mashed potatoes.
I was
and tubes.
Just going to talk about candy bars and mashed potatoes for this one. Okay. So there's a lot of fictional small towns out there. They pop up in stories, video games, movies, what have you. And there's a lot of little small town tropes and different things. And I want to know, what fictional small town thing do you wish was true in real life?
So this is a fun one. I had this one in my head when you first brought this idea up earlier.
You got really excited when I came up with this idea.
So are you familiar with a show called Murder, She Wrote?
Sure am.
A retired lady starts writing after becoming a widower, and makes it big as a murder mystery writer, and then she starts helping all the dumb cops in her small town and all over the place solve crime. Now, the town of Cabot Cove that she lives in has a lot of murders. There are so many murders. There's always people that she knows, and I think there's not enough of that. I think it'd be fun if just small towns, just there's more murders, that there's always a mystery that has to be solved. And then I'd for example, if that happened, I'd become a murder blogger for the town.
That's the only way you survive.
That would actually give me a 50-50 shot of either being the next target for that. This murder blogger for the town has been killed, we're gonna have to solve his mystery, or the main character. I got 50-50 shot. I'm gonna take it.
Right. I think the only way you can guarantee your survival is to be a main side character.
Oh yeah, because you can't even be oh, there's all these murders happening this time, I have to leave. Because then you get murdered. It's he's about to leave town. He had all this stuff packed up.
Oh, yeah, no. That's how you die, is by getting ready to leave town. It's really the mayor just murdering everybody.
No, the safest spot is to be the dumb sheriff that has to get help from this from whoever the murder expert is.
That's true. Join the police force.
Yeah, there you go. But you have to be the sheriff, because otherwise you're not necessarily have to stick around.
That's true, because a deputy could get murdered.
I just think that'd be fun if it was just treated more like this is a lighthearted oh yeah, this person died this week.
More murder. What are we gonna do?
It looks like it was a neighbor next door. It turns out that they stole the apple pie recipe. I think that'd be an interesting way to live your life in a small town.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. So I went with a little bit of a different direction for my
first one. I would assume so.
A little bit of a different one. So, you know the game's Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Every small town has a mart that sells the exact same things and free healthcare.
I mean, for the Pokemon.
And for you.
No. There's never. I don't think there's examples of free healthcare for humans in Pokemon.
We're assuming it's for people too, because I'm just assuming that people in Pokemon are the same.
Yeah, I think.
I'm sorry. If Mr. Mime can get free healthcare, I can just dress as Mr. Mime and get free healthcare.
I thought you were going for free vet bills, because that'd be pretty great too.
I mean, just free healthcare all around. I'm trying to put Lando's insane vet bills in the back of my mind.
In general, it's just always would be. You'd never have to worry about a vet bill again.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I spent $1,000 on vet bills this week. I did not want to do that.
And it's just instant fix. He has.
He goes, doot, 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 doot.
It's done. It's like, it's just in and out. He wouldn't dislike going there.
No, but it's one of those things. You wander into the next small town, and the first two things you do are you go to the doctor and sit on their machine and get everything healed, and then you walk over to the store and you just buy a bunch of fucking drugs so you can go off into the woods again.
We have the local store. This is Wisconsin. It's Quick Trip.
You can't buy drugs at Quick Trip.
I mean, not over the
counter
stuff.
Not our Quick Trip.
Not over the counter stuff.
Our Quick Trips, there's not a ton of drug dealers in those Quick Trips.
No.
At least, maybe I'm just bad at looking.
No, but, there are, not over the, but there's, the regular medicine stuff, so.
I know, I was just saying, it's kind of it'd be nice. You just walk in, you get your free health care, you get your drugs, and then you wander into the woods until you find the next small town.
But then the gym life is pretty intense. You go to the gym, is there's one gym in each town, and they take it very seriously.
That's like the 1% that do that. Everybody else is just a burnout trainer that's like, well, all I have to do here is I have to beat up on little kids and take their money.
But they're not the one in charge. The one who's all in 100% is the one in charge. There's a hierarchy for these gyms.
Is Pokemon just crime?
Oh, there's a lot of crime going on.
No, but like, do you think all the trainers have to pay a percentage to the local gym leader in order to like keep beating up little kids and taking all their shit?
It's funny that they removed slot machines from Pokemon as they went on because gambling for kids.
Yeah,
however,
but the slot machines were the best.
But it turns out like every fight, you win money if you win. If you lose, you lose money. It seems like there's also gambling going on. It's just like not as clearly announced.
Well, yeah, no, there's 100% gambling going on. And it's gambling on, like, let's be honest. Slot machines are the most ethical thing in the Pokemon universe.
It's just based around fucking cockfights everywhere. And so like, would there be a lot of, these towns, like, that are all, so it's all cookie cutter. Would it also be a lot of like on the spot gambling all over the place, or is that as soon as you step out of limits of the town, there's a lot of gambling everywhere?
I don't know. It depends on how many Officer Joys there are. Yeah. It is Officer Joy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
However, it would be a very every town would be very pedestrian friendly.
Well, yeah, that'd be great, and like bike friendly, yeah. Especially that one bike road that's all downhill.
You don't have to worry about stop signs or stoplights. It's just all like. Nobody drives a car.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, that could be great. All right, do you have another?
No, I just had that one because I really like the thought of it's just all the TV shows about fucking murderers. And there's, like, it'd be like, some of them would be like half the town, by the end of the show, when the show wraps up, like half the town would be dead.
Oh, yeah.
If you like crunch the numbers, so like. I think like Buffy the Vampire Slayer is like an example where like just so many people die and like it's just hand waved.
Oh, just hand waved away. But like that's also not like a small town.
Yeah,
it's a small city.
Yeah, that's a small city. But I'm just as an example of how some TV shows are a little flippant with the murder numbers.
Oh yeah, well, or like there's shows where like they're set in a small town. And then every week you learn about, like, a new resident of this town that apparently everybody knows and then just nobody ever talks about again. Like, how big / small is this town?
Yeah.
But, all right, I don't think I have anything either. Turns out I just really wanted to get mad about mashed potatoes tonight.
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, that's not the right one. We're the McLaughlin Group.
I don't know why I still have this on this mixing board.
It's always a fun surprise when it comes up.
If you guys have any questions, comments, share ideas, or to have you go ahead and shoot us an email at feedback at blindnewsstudios.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/blindnewsstudios. You can follow us on Instagram at blindnewsstudios. I'll see you guys next week.